There you go. Sorry about that, Wall Spirit. There we go. Welcome to Journeys with JP. It is the 20th of December. Now here, hang on. Actually, no, it's the 19th. Actually, in Britain, it's here the 20th of December because it's 1 a.m. But in America, it's still the 19th. That was good. Yeah, really good intro. Anyway, so, yeah, it would be interesting if anybody wanted to call in today. Again, I've got an open show. It's, I've probably got a few subjects that I could, reel up off about in the, from the top of my head. Number one, actually. Yeah, but if you want to call in, do call in. Especially if I've not spoken to you before and, you want to talk about Rays or stuff like that. Or if you, you know, if you know me and you can call in. But, the one thing I wanted to talk to you about, that is really the, you know, an actual, cause, you know, people talk about stuff. People talk about Nibiru and they talk about this and they talk about waves and this and, you know, you don't see any proof. Rarely do you ever see proof. And I think today we've actually found some. And I can give you the URL. I'm going to put the URL into the chat room in Wolf Spirit and in in Revolution Radio. There we go. Ah, it's a long way. That's what you'll see there now. This is the readout, and as you can see, it covers the sea and the colors that it's using. These are satellites that monitor, and they've been up there a long time, these guys. They beam microwaves down to clouds over the sea, what is reflected is microwave radar, so that it can see the flow of water precipitation around the world, you know, in over the sea. And what it uses a particular frequency of microwave. And so it beams down and beams out. And, you know, for years and years, this thing's been poodling away and, you know, showing the weather over the sea. No problem. Until this morning. No kidding. This is very, very fresh. And essentially what you're going to be looking at, if you look at this GIF file, you see these waves of, you know, your normal, as you'd expect a weather map. And then suddenly you see these rainbow streaks. Up and down, right across the map. Now, if you know how these things are constructed, these maps, you'll get an idea of why there are these big sine waves across it. But essentially, the satellite goes around the world in, and goes around like an old-fashioned vinyl record, but on a three-dimensional basis. But basically, it, like a ball of string, really. Or a ball of wool that, it goes around the world, just a little further to the east or west at a time and, makes a general map, and it becomes more and more refined as the next, number of passes go by. And so it's made oh, there we go. Thank you, Veronessa. Oh, that's so pretty. It's a really pretty thing, but it's a real anomaly. Okay, so what does it mean, JP? Well, dear listener, what this means is that there is a microwave source that is not normally present, that hasn't been present forever, that suddenly has appeared. And this flashed up this morning. The presence of these long stripes show that there was an amount of microwave that was, that the world was bathing in, because it's the same color all the way around. Which is, so basically what it's saying is that it's detecting a microwave at a certain level. is displaying that we actually have, a source of microwaves that does not normally exist in our solar system. In our natural spatial environment. So, that's number one this evening. This is, so number two was, another thing that has been doing the rounds, which is the galactic wave. And they say that the galactic wave will hit us on the 26th of December. And from what I can calculate, using my simple arithmetic calculation, that's next week. So what we seem to be seeing is the leading edge of the thing that they've been talking about. So I really do believe, brothers and sisters, that this is a real thing. Now, if it's picking up microwaves right now, and that's the leading edge of it, there may be a gathering of intensity. You don't see any link. So just have a look. Thank you very much, Vanessa. It's a, I believe, a gathering of intensity, of the wave, as the frequency bands that, we're seeing are, you know, probably going to go down and up. So, a microwave is lower frequency than infrared. Infrared is lower frequency than visible light. Visible light is lower frequency than ultraviolet light. Ultraviolet light is lower frequency than X-rays. And so it goes on. So, you know, by the time you've gone beyond X-rays, you get to gamma rays. That's where they are. That's up there, right up there. So, they're purportedly gamma ray bursts from a magnetar, or other people say that it's the galactic signal, the starting pistol of the whole event process. And that really hasn't really happened yet. So nobody knows how it's going to go. That's why it's so exciting. This is why so it's interesting. So here's the thing, is that we can direct it. If we know what's going on, we can direct this energy. Now, a lot of us have been trying to do manifestation, you know. I need somewhere to live, for instance. And so I put it out there, you know, and I actually did. Let's see if I can remember the dates. It was February the 29th. It was a leap day in 2012, which was a leap year. And, I put out on a Facebook page, specifically for manifestors. And I said, I'd like a nice, nice cottage somewhere, with a wood stove and possibility for solar power and stuff like that. Somewhere for my son to stay when he's here, etc. And, 9 months to the day, I was invited to come and sit in the kitchen of the house that I currently live in, to meet the landlord. So it really does happen. The manifestation happens. It's a natural thing. So it happens in natural cycles. So for me, a house like that, my own base, took 9 months to build. You know, figure it out. Things happen like that. And indeed, I'm watching the rainbows going on the map here. Hang on, I just need to cough. That is superb. So love and peace and unity on this earth is that's a good plan too. I like that one. Let's see what else we can manifest. You know, cause this is the time when we're going to do it. That's the time. This is the moment we've been waiting for. As if, all right, so here's the thing. Imagine if somehow everything broke down. You know, the whole world broke down. All the government control systems, let's say, broke down. Oh, well. Sorry, I'm just going wow at the rainbows that are coming on this map. So, 18, 19. Yeah, so the rainbows on this map are just getting thicker and thicker. That is incredible. Sorry, I'm just distracting myself with the current current state of this thing. And what this is telling me is that the, you know, you see the rainbow, these rainbow stripes are getting wider, which means that there's a greater range. There's much, it's a greater depth, which means as it's going over the Earth, it's just getting completely scrambled by the amount of data that's coming in. Oh wow. You can probably figure it out, somehow, as to what direction it's coming through, coming from. Looks like fish bones as well. It's somewhere at the end of that cycle. It's so mangled up. There we go. It looks like there's, maybe those are radars. Maybe there's a radars kicking in. There's this burst and it happens about 2200 UTC, where everything, there it goes. That's very interesting. Anyway, so, I won't distract myself because it's very, very, it is very distracting. Focus. Yeah, that's really very cool. And very anomalous. You know, I don't think anyone's seen this yet, you know, before. So it's quite an exciting thing. And as I said, we've been waiting for the wave for years. I've gotten so bored talking about it that I don't talk about it anymore. By the way, this is a mocha coffee, which has got cocoa powder in it and cinnamon and almond flour into the milk as I heated the milk. I just want to say that because like everybody's got their Starbucks. So I have to make my own. Anyway, so some people aren't able to see the chat, where you can see this thing. Maybe if you can't see it, then click on it. Some versions of the chat room are able to display it and some of them not. Anyhow, so, yeah. Yeah. The wave, the galactic wave. Yeah, exactly. Wow. The galactic wave is something I've been speaking about for, when did I start talking? Maybe about 2011, I think. We started to see the anomaly. They call it the ribbon. They call it the ribbon, and essentially, from what I figured out, is that the reason it's called a ribbon is because it stretches across the sky in what appears to be a linear form, but is actually the edge of an expanding ring that is expanding towards where we are, and so. From the perspective of looking at the ring from a distance, it appears to be, being a line that grows, either end. But if you were looking from slightly above, the line is, it's a curve that's, you know, just expanding towards you. And this is a signal. It's a burst. It's a burst of information. It's a burst of energy. And really, If you think about it, if you consider what it is, it's like, it's a thought. Because every galaxy is a brain cell. So it's a thought that is spreading throughout the galaxy. And throughout the universe, which is a mind, or a brain, on some level. Yeah. Wow. There's this wibbling back. Oh yes, the ribbon. So you remember I've been talking about this. So yeah, the ribbon, the Nexus, let me see. Star Trek. I think the movie number 7, if I'm correct, I might be wrong, might be number 5. Generations, the one with Whoopi Goldberg in it, and Roddy McDowell. Is it Roddy McDowell or Andrew McDowell? One of the McDowells. And he plays a manic professor who's trying to get into the Nexus, because the Nexus is basically a sort of time. It's a time of a place of no time. How can I put that? And it seems that Captain Kirk was caught in the Nexus many years ago, and was never seen since. And he's been there, and his reality, his experience, is just like his ideal world. And you see him chopping wood and riding horses and just leading a kind of really kind of cowboy life. That's his real ideal retirement sort of space. And so, that's his day to day living is that. It's just that, you know, he doesn't know he's there. He doesn't know he's anything else. Everything else is just a dream. And so that's the Nexus. And I remember the character of a guy named Whoopi Goldberg says, you know, when you go there, you don't want to come back because it's just bliss. It's just everything you always wanted. So it was very hard for them. Anyway, so that's the Nexus. And it's portrayed as this kind of trap that holds you in a place. Roddy McDowell. Thank you very much, Vanessa. Yes. The Nexus is that's the film. But what I was trying to illustrate is that there's a ribbon, shaped galactic frequency object that is coming towards us. In the case of this film, it's a very destructive thing. Because it just kind of wipes out things in its path. But, from what I can understand, this is a good thing, but you know how Hollywood goes. They do try to, put a damper on things. So, wow. It's just brilliant. I love all those rainbows. The ribbon, from what I understand, the ribbon is an expanding ring of consciousness that is expanding towards us and will envelop us at some point soon. And it's not a terrible thing. Because if you like, what these pulses are, all galaxies do it. It's like a heartbeat. Except it's really, really, really slow because galaxies are huge and so the frequencies involved are really, really low. But indeed, you know, it may be that each galaxy is a time bubble in itself. And from the outside it doesn't look so slow. Anyway, before I blow my complete brain out with that, so the wave, from what I believe, I understand, is something that happens like every so many million years, or, you know, a lot of million years, like 26 million years or something like that, which does seem to have a kind of analogy. There's a thing, the sun has a ionic trail that you can look this up, has an ionic trail that joins to the Earth. And a pulse of energy passes from the center of the solar system, from the sun, to the Earth, and it makes a pulse, and the frequency of the pulse is every 8 minutes. Now, anybody with an ounce of deductive spirit in their head might think, 8 minutes? That's about the same sort of ballpark time as the amount of time that it takes light to reach the sun, or light from the sun to reach the Earth. Who knows? It might be smaller, different if it's going the other way. You never thought about that, did you? Anyway, so it takes about that sort of time. So what might be happening is that an ionic trail is being set up at the speed of light, and it discharges to the Earth. And having discharged it, it dissipates until it builds up again and sends out another one. And so the pulse goes, and that's the pulse of the Earth. So it depends how far away from the sun you are, the frequency of your pulses. So there's another frequency that we're looking at. Right, so in the same way that the sun, therefore, does this eight-minute cycle, we're a long way from the center of the galaxy. So that's, what is it, 26,000 years? 26,000 light years? I mean, it's one of these numbers that multiplies up just to, you know, just fit in with the size of the galaxy. There's these 26s and 52s and things like that. These multiples. It's a strange harmonic thing. Anyway, this is, so the pulse that hits the sun that then sends out pulses, you know, it's like an energy distribution center, you know. Your power station, your main power station, sends energy along wires to substations, and then the substations step the energy down and distribute it to the house, or to the other substations, you know, the second tier. And it goes down until it finally reaches your home, where it's 110 volts or 240 volts, depending on where you are. And you know, you can plug in your wall socket and then recharge your mobile phone. Okay, so all of that is stepping down from the original, like, multiple thousands of volts that the power stations are generating at. And so the center of the galaxy is connected to some other thing that sends it pulses at certain times, and so on and so on. And all of these pulses are the frequencies, the discharge frequencies of the universe. And if it's like, it may be easier if you're thinking, rather than a ring, that it's like a lightning bolt, like those plasma discharge bulbs that were popular in the 90s. It's a sort of purple light, and it's, you know, you put your finger on the side of the thing, and you see this kind of blue lightning bolt jumping from the middle of the bulb to the outside where your finger is. That's how a universe works, really. You know, you just scale that up, and you know, your finger is a planet, and the center point is the sun, and you've got something that analogizes to the electric model of the universe, as we were talking last week with James McKenney. Hang on, I'll drop more of that. Let me just use my that's better. Sorry about that. I really needed to, Malcolm McDowell. Yes. Malcolm McDowell. Thank you very much. It was 2011. That's right. Yeah. Yes. So, Malcolm McDowell. Yes. Not Roddy McDowell. I knew there was something. It wasn't right. So, yes. Is JP talking from this graphic? Yes, I am talking from that graphic, the one with all the rainbow colors. It's very pretty. Yeah. So, if you would like to call in, I've got various numbers. The easiest one from the States is 775-773-3431. And, from the UK, it's 0141-356-4141. Skype is Freedom Screen 2. Yeah, so there we go. We got the McDowells right. Yeah. Ha ha ha. Yes, indeed. So, now, let's see. I'm just having a look at all the chat rooms. Yeah, so what do you think? Hey, Tracy, why don't you call in? There you are. And we've been talking about this. We've nailed it. And here it is. I mean, it really is. I'm just going to keep posting this thing all the way through the show. So that people can see it. It is just something else. Very pretty. Lots of rainbows. Wow. Brilliant. So, yes. So the Nexus, the wave, what does it mean? Well, as I said, you have a power station that sends energy to substations, etc., each time stepping down the energy. And, all right, okay, everybody call in. Yeah, where are you? Buzz back, free will. Let's talk about electric stuff. This is all electric universe. So yeah, the big thing, sends a bolt of lightning to the smaller thing, and then the smaller thing sends a bolts of lightning, little more bolts of lightning. More bolts of lightning, crack onto the, smaller stations, and each of those stations, sends down to the next sub-level down. So then eventually we get down to the galactic arm, and then the galactic arm ends up at the Pleiadian system. The Pleiadian system, spirals out of it, coming to our solar system, and then our solar system, the sun, sends the electricity to the Earth. The Earth has its central sun, which then sends its electricity to us, from the central sun that we have as the plasma spark in the side of our heart. That's how we evolve. Essentially, Andreas has shown us the technique for becoming like a star. You just grow the star from inside your heart. We are trying. Yes, very. Anyway. Well, I don't know why nobody's able to call in. I'm online, and, I'm receptive and understanding and caring. No. we're talking about, conspiracy dating sites, and, I was saying, male seeks female, 55 years old, must be from Lyran descent and, be up to speed with the reptilian agenda. I don't know if it works. It says mine, I'm not online. I am online. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, let's try this one. Okay. I'm just putting my number in the, Wolf Spirit chat room. 775-775-773-3431. Yeah. Or the Freedom Screen 2, which is, where is it? Alright, there we go. Try another one. Try this. Yeah, here we go. 310-41-4053. Let's talk about the Nexus. And what are you going to do about it? Because here it is. Here is the Nexus. It's happening. It's here, now. Where are you? Come on. Press those numbers. Actually, I used to have a nice little telephone number jingle, but I can't find it anymore. Yeah, they always go. More coffee. So, yes. There we are. 2011. Excellent. So, why don't you call in? I've given you all the numbers and nobody's calling in. And you're going to call in just about the time when the show finishes. Don't do that. Call in now. Call in now and you'll be able to get a good conversation rather than being hurried and I'm sitting here bored saying call in people. Anyway, so I think you've all got that. So there's this galactic, this is the way the universe, connects. It steps down. It's just like how power is transmitted on the Earth. It's a very, natural model. You have a large thing, You have a slightly smaller station that distributes to more, and so on. It's very efficient. The tree diagram. Imagine it's like a tree, you know, how a tree distributes the sap all over it. You know, each branch has its own channel that then comes in from the outside. Uh-huh. Good luck with that, too. Yeah, I thought I was picky. What? Yeah, so if you're looking at that picture, you'll see, I think, that there are these radar things that are coming out from, down in the South Pacific. They seem to be radars, or they're sending out vibrations. All right, there we go. Somebody has just called in, and I'm going to call them back. Hey!
Hello!
Shari Ives, how are you? Ah, yeah, now everybody's coming. Here we go. All right. You got to turn off your radio and turn down your speakers.
Hold on.
Hi, Shari, how are you?
Can you see me, hear me?
I can hear you now. Okay. Come closer.
Oops, hold on. How's that?
That's a lot better. Hi.
Hi.
Good. Nice to see you.
I hope you don't see me right now, my goodness.
I can see you. But not through the camera. Through the eye of my mind.
That's okay. I look fabulous there.
Oh yeah, you look great. Is that a new aura you've got on?
I don't have any aura on now.
Whoa. You've got one of these strange automatically responding microphone things that jumps in up and down in volume. Anyway, so have you been following this this strange little spatial anomaly?
Are you guys talking about that crazy wave that came through in those rainbow colors from, I don't know, what was it, NASA, I guess?
From University of Wisconsin.
So I have been really feeling strange for the last few days, and this evening I suddenly felt very strange and put on a pair of sneakers and started running around the house. And then I realized it was the wave. I think I was expecting something bad to hit, and it just lifted me off my feet. It was incredible.
Mm. Yeah, it's not a terrible thing.
I thought it would be. I literally went to Home Depot and bought extra firewood and matches, and because I thought the wave would knock out the power grid. I was expecting something. I did go out and prepare, except instead I was just listening to Olivia Newton-John dancing around the house, which is really, it was not what I expected in Mercury retrograde.
I don't know. Olivia Newton bomb. Well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, wonders will never cease. Let's bring in our compatriot, our brother in arms, our cheek by jowl, our Keith. Hi.
Thanks. Very nice introduction, sir.
Ran out of superlative. I forgot to go to the I forgot to pick some up at the store today. You know, I only had a couple of layers left, and it just run out. Sorry.
That's all right. Well, you're talking my language, the electric universe. Remember, our bodies are electrical. We have both AC and DC currents in our own nervous system. And every molecular bond is electrical in nature. I mean, that's just the way it is. So
Janine's bond, electrical bond.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's how atoms bond due to the openings in the valence electrons shell. At least that's the best as science currently understands it. You know, who knows? We may sometime later may look back on it and say, "What man, we were really full of it back then, weren't we?" But You know, it's such, so interesting. And that was such a fantastic show you did with James McCanney last week. You are such a good interviewer, and you really asked him questions that I had never thought to ask him. And you know, about the shape of space, you know, that's what we're made of. The sacred geometry, the very shape of space is who we are. And I wanted to ask him, you know what one of my questions is, JP? So we're on this kind of small, I believe it's the Orion arm. There's five arms of our galaxy. And we're on kind of this little one that many think is a remnant of a collision with another galaxy or part of another galaxy that somehow got entwined. But I'm pretty sure that the arms also rotate, and I think that's why we go up and down in the cycle of the precessions, why we move in relation to the galactic plane. Because those spiral arms are rotating. And the gamma rays, of course, are the highest energy, highest frequency known form of radiation. And
it's the highest we can measure so far.
The highest we can measure. That's
correct. Here's the thing. All right. Everything is like wheels within wheels within wheels, isn't it?
That's right.
Right. So here's my hypothesis. I think that all galaxies are originally like a pinwheel. And, you know, there's a central star that then spits out other stars. Or it may be just a single star that spits out planets that evolve into stars. And as they fly outwards, now this thing is spinning round as well, and eventually, you know, things pop out of it. As it spins round, little globules kind of coalesce, and then somehow it gives birth to this thing, which is another star or another planet that eventually grows into a star, which spits out other stars, which spin, spitting out other stars, and so on. But essentially, I believe that there are two main jets, and those are the
right.
jets that eventually become like a Catherine wheel, causing the thing to spin on its side. And as the material is ejected, it's only ever ejected from one or other side. And so if there is more multiple arms, it's probably something more like, something came through and cut the arm, but the other arm just started in a new place. If you see what I mean.
Yes, I do.
So I believe
that eruption in the two jets.
Yeah. So one, you know, something cut through the jet, and the other one just kind of starts floating off, and it just starts creating a new arm. You know, it's not really an arm. It's a spout. What's the word? It's like a cloud, like it comes out of a power station. You know, it's just a poot. We're all just gas, really. We're all kind of, you know, galactic gas.
But I think it's a vortex, so that the arms themselves are spiraling.
Everything's spinning and everything's traveling, which is spiral, yeah.
Yeah. So wheels within wheels within wheels. You know, the Earth rotates around the sun. The sun rotates around the spiral arm. The spiral arm rotates around the galaxy. Our galaxy rotates around the local cluster and then the supercluster and et cetera, et cetera. And so what is our true angular velocity? There's no way to know, but it's got to be extraordinarily high.
Well, we're spinning around in all dimensions. Now, here's the thing. This gamma wave, this microwave that appears to be, you know, as I'm looking at this thing, it started out thin and it got thicker. That means it's presumably gathering in intensity. You can also see something move across the face of the planet before you see the main rainbows. There's this, when was it? There we go. At the beginning of on the morning of the 18th, you see this wave. It moves across. Wow, and then the big rainbow stripes come. And then there's this, you know, once the rainbow stripes have started hitting, there's the automated stations that start sending out beams. because you can see these herringbone kind of designs.
And we've had precursor waves already as well.
Indeed.
It's like it transcends time. The waves go both forward and backwards in time. At least that's what I'm feeling.
So do you reckon this is the event?
I don't go into that kind of level of detail because when we're talking, especially on these cosmic levels, is it the some kind of turning point, or have we been turning for a million years? It's a focus of consciousness that is an eye blink away, perhaps. I can't really answer that.
Well, let's see what Shari. Shari, are you there?
I am. You know what I'm wondering? You know when we have a thunderstorm and the thunder, as it gets closer and closer, you know the storm, you know, is closer? Can we measure these and tell if they're getting closer to know that maybe the event is getting closer? Did that make sense?
What do you think, Keith? The thing is to find out where on the planet they're most intense.
Mm.
Where they're hitting.
Pardon me, I was muted. Yes, certainly we can measure that with all kinds of different measurement type devices, including satellites. And speed at which the both the sound wave and the light waves come can be measured.
Is it getting closer from the measurements? Are they, you know, once every 50 years and now it's once every 10 years? I mean, you know, is there a way to narrow it down possibly? Because whatever happened today, I felt it, and I had to go backwards and say, what on earth just came over me? And then I realized it. So, you know, is it the next one in 50 years? Is it our lifetime? You know, like, is there a way to scientifically measure such a thing?
I'm not quite sure I understand the question, Shari. What exactly, you're talking about these galactic waves JP is describing?
Yeah, whatever came through today on that graph, I felt that. And so I'm thinking, you know, we've known of these big waves coming through. Is there a way maybe they get closer together to imagine that the big one is attached to it at the end of that and it would be happening sooner or later? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I would suggest that your best measurement is your own intuition, your own being, since you felt it. Mm-hmm. But certainly with satellites and radio telescopes and the various types of measurement devices, we can have a great deal of understanding with these gamma ray bursts. That's why we can tell which part of the galaxy they're coming from and approximate which star system they are, or accurately tell. It's very sophisticated and specific.
Okay, so I've got another perspective on this. From a galactic connection perspective, there we are, in contact with George of the, extraterrestrial fleet, we have Dr. Sam Muggsy. Hey, Sam, how are you? Sam? Oh, she's not, she's...
I had to hook up my microphone.
She's
Hold on.
Fumbling. I can see her fumbling in the back. That wasn't very, we wanted to be a bit more, anyway.
Dang, you're fast.
I said stand by. Anyway. I'll just fill in for the moment. So we're gonna take some perspectives here, and we're gonna take the perspective up a bit. Miss Muggsy is in charge of a, what did I say in charge of? Maybe you are, you will be in charge of something one day. No, in contact with, a team of extraterrestrials through, Ray Kosalandich that he calls his Fab Four. One of which, is an elephant-headed being who, is not a Ganesh type, being, you know, a different kind of, a kind of smaller trunk, but kind of a very elephantine head anyway. Anyway, his name is George. And Sam is particularly drawn to connecting with George. So, are you now connected?
Yeah, have been.
Oh, good. Right. Now I've introduced you and where you're at. So, how are you? Hi, how are you? Happy Christmas.
You're so cute. Merry Christmas. Okay, so George told me about a week ago about these energies coming in. And what everybody needs to know is that they're starting gradual right now, but they're going to get more and more and more intense. These are the energies from the fifth dimension. They're letting it come in so we can start digesting it and getting into the rhythm of it. And then they're going to let more in until eventually we are ready to move into the fifth dimension. And what is really cool about this energy is that those of us that are in the light and do light work and love people and want to help people, but with boundaries, the good people are going to be rewarded. These energies are going to be manipulated so that we can now be co-creators. So once you realize that you can now create, you'll be able to bring in what you want. And you'll notice it will start coming in faster and faster and faster. For those that are the dark cabal that are doing this Pizzagate and all this nefarious activity, what this means is that the energy also carries a hammer and a stick. So if you're doing guilt trips, manipulation, I don't know if you guys have seen, but people that are not walking the golden path of the yellow brick road to the golden age, and they're doing scams and manipulation and things like that, they're starting to act really crazy, very jumpy, and they're acting really weird. So as they commit more of these dark acts, whatever they are, whatever they're throwing out into the universe or out into space is exactly what's going to come back. And it's going to be more and more of a force smacking them back. And it's either going to wake them up, you know, like a kid, you spank the kid and eventually the kid either quits doing it or the kid's going to check out. And that's where we're at. But what I like is, JP, you and I have been at this for like 10 years now. Finally, those energies are going to be coming back to help us and assist us to do greater work, which we love to do. We love working with people and helping people. And so we're going to have many surprises on the horizon. And I think a lot of other people are too, because I know they've been doing their work as well with no pay or little pay, no appreciation really. So if you're one of those people, things are going to start to change for you and you're going to be surprised. And if money has been really tight, don't be surprised if you start finding where money's coming in more fluently for you. Okay, questions.
All right, so anyone get that, Keith? You have any questions for Ms. Muggsy? Dr. Ms. Muggsy.
Yes,
Ms. Doctor,
I do.
Ms. Doctor, Sir, Sir Lady Ms. Muggsy.
First of all, it's very nice to meet you, Sherry. I'm an abductee and a contactee, and I've been getting very similar information, but I hadn't thought of the 5D aspect of that. That is super interesting to me and makes total sense. I've been requiring a little bit of extra naps. Like this weekend, I took a couple of naps in the afternoon, each afternoon, and was just having wild dreams. Just like, and then when I woke up from them, I felt like I was still kind of getting back in my body, if you will. And I agree 100% because people that are not really operating with integrity, I'm seeing that as well, where they're having a real difficult time and a lot of stuff. Whereas for myself, I feel like I've been unchained, and the true creative nature that I have is the things that were tapping my energies are getting released. And I think the negative entities, energies, whatever you want to call them, I think it's getting more uncomfortable for them here. So that's my thoughts on that.
That's right. My name's Sam, not Sherry.
I'm sorry, what is it, Sam?
Yeah,
Sam. Sam Muggsy. And Sherry's...
Samantha.
Or you can just call me Muggsy. But yeah, that these... what George has told me is that on January 1st, midnight, that the doorway to the fifth dimension is being opened for us. So we're going to start migrating into a fifth dimensional style of living. And those, see, I think before in the dark ages, what happened was is that the darker you were, the more nefarious that you were, the more evil you were, it almost seemed like the universe was rewarding those people. That's why people that were like schmucks at work, they would be the ones always getting the promotions. But that's not going to be the case anymore. And the reason why it was that way was because the systems had all been usurped by the dark cabal in order to manipulate them so that it would reward the dark hearts. But now it's going to flip. All those systems and controls have been removed by the galactics, and now more positive things are going to happen. And for all the people that, God bless you, first of all, for having the endeavor to stay true to your mission, be true to yourself, and walking that spiritual path and avoiding all of the corruption along the way and actually doing things the hard way. It wasn't easy. We could have done dark deeds and got ahead a lot faster, but we stayed true to our path and authentic to who we are, and it was much harder. But now what the galactics have showed me is that we created in our lifetime, our whole lifetime, we have created all this friction because we were pulling that rubber band back by not participating in that world. So now we're going to let go that rubber band January 1st, 2017, and we're going to start moving ahead faster than other people. You're going to watch it. You're going to be amazed and shocked at how fast your life is going to turn around. It's going to be pretty amazing.
Excellent. I can see this has already started to happen.
The person you are trying to reach is not accepting calls at this time.
Oh, you're not accepting calls, are you, Daryl? Well, try and call us. I'll just try to call you. Anyway, go ahead.
Now, you were saying something. It was your turn.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that we're just about to go to a break. So thanks, everybody, if you want to hang on to the call, and we'll come through the break and listen to all the things. It's starting to be a bit of a JP fest in Revolution Radio. There's all these adverts that are like one after the other. They've all got my voice on them, and it's really quite disconcerting, I do have to say. Other people might like it, I don't know. But I'm just going to be filling it. So anyway, this is Journeys with JP. Yeah, hey, by the way, if you want to sponsor Revolution Radio, do click the donate button. And if you do, just say that JP sent you. Apparently there's this whole incentive thing. So if you want to donate to a particular host on the station, you know, if you like Sean's show, if you like Mr. Rowe, if you like Keith, you can mention that in your donation. And who knows, one day we may actually get paid for something on Rev Radio. Shh, don't say anything, because we don't do commercials. Nor will it ever. I need to sneeze, and I need to look at a bright light, and I don't want to sneeze while the microphone's going. Please, guitar. There we are. Thank you. I'll be back in a little while. Well, yes, indeed. Here I am. He can't guarantee the, whether we're filleted or connected. So look, Stardust, I tried to call you twice. I keep getting your, what's his name? Look, I'm available. I'm here on Skype. I've got everything set up. Can somebody try calling in on the 775 number? Just to see. I'm sure it works. Anyway, I've tried Daryl. 775-773-3431. Try that. We are live. Muggsy, are you still there? No, she's muted. Oh well, I'll just disconnect the call. Oh, maybe I called her. Anyway, yeah, so Shari's in the shower. So let's see if Keith is still here.
I am here, my friend.
Oh, thank God for that. I thought I was just like left home alone, adrift on the sea.
No, I'm backing you up, my friend.
What's the word? Becalmed on a quiet day. Anyway, yeah, so here we are. And yeah, we're not exactly becalmed because, we're being buffeted by these waves. And, so there you go. Moving into fourth dimensional realities.
That's right. I am feeling the shift big time. Although I don't choose to define it as fourth, fifth, or sixth. It's just more like, there's a deeper richness. There's another, it's like another sense, another color, a new color, that's happening. I think sometimes we get a little too left-brained about trying to describe it. And, when we can tune into our heart and connect with the knowingness that is, beyond, what our mind can encompass and allow. It's more of an allowing, if you will. By the way, JP, Daryl called into my show last night and I posted in the Skype chat there if you see it a different number than the one you tried to call him on.
Right. Yeah. Didn't I just call that one? Yeah. The 870. So I tried to call it, but it's got a number. It's got a voicemail on it.
Worries.
Anyway, so look, you're interesting enough. Anyway, keep going.
So, this galactic wave, like I said, so it exists beyond time and space. But one of the things Sam was saying, Muggsy, was that it's fifth dimensional. So the thought occurred to me that it's like the magnetar is like a signal on what our five senses can detect. To give us some grounding in this higher dimensional reality that is coming in. And boy, what Muggsy said, I'm ready, you know. I feel like you and I and I think the listeners and so many of us have worked so hard and given so much that we're really are graduating, if you will. And, are seeing these rewards come in. You know, it's very interesting. I was talking about a dream I had, where I was floating above, this wave that came in and I saw a lot of, people in distress down below, who were getting all discombobulated and it was those that were just as, Muggsy was saying, operating, for selfish, reasons and, operating on a, paradigm that the only way to get ahead is to take everything from other people with be parasitical in the way they operate so I was floating above that because I've been operating cleanly and with integrity. And if you think about it, integrity is the only thing you take with you when you exit this plane. How you chose to operate, no material belongings, all that's gone. The only thing you take with you is how much you've grown, how much work you've done on who you are, and how cleanly and how much love that you've, learned how to give to each other. Over a decade ago, I decided my goal with my life, you know, because we all can decide what do we want to do with our time here. And I decided what I wanted to do was learn how to give more love as a discipline, not as just some saying, oh, I love you, man, you know, that kind of thing. No, what I mean by that is learning how to give more love means a great deal of discipline because I have to get my own house in order that I may be in a position to be more generous with each other and more supportive and have my own issues, you know, at least move forward with. You know, I don't pretend like, you know, I've solved everything, because I don't think we'd be here if we didn't have stuff to work on. But at least be moving forward with my own emotional and issues that I need to, that are opportunities for growth within myself. But when you're moving, then you've got an energy. It's like a snowball that gets bigger. And so then this person said to me, you know, so I was floating above this water, and this voice came to me, this high being, and said that they're in distress and you're not, because you've chosen to operate with integrity. And so it's actually a friend of mine, and he was teasing me, but he said, so you're better than Jesus. You're not just walking on water, you're walking above it.
Exactly. You know, well, I mean, didn't the guy himself say all this and more?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that is true. It's very interesting.
You know, it's not hubris, you know. And I think this is the big thing. And I think this is part of the reptilian plan, is this whole, you can't be ever as good as God. You can be nowhere near Jesus. You're just a humble man. You're just a this, and you're just all this. You're just as. That is just B of the S, you know, because that's exactly the mind control program that locks us down into self-doubt. And once we release self-doubt, we are magical beings. We are released into that fourth dimensional reality.
Well, I was just going to say, when you mentioned that, of all the trauma-based mind control programs I've dealt with within myself, I think the biggest one is not feeling deserving. You know, they've tricked us into, you know, our lot is that, you know, we're forging our own chains, and, oh man, I'm so grateful I got this hard bed and this stale bread to eat, you know, that kind of deal. And if I get a little bit more, wow, you know. But no, God, what you just said, JP, is amazing. We are magical beings, and I'm experiencing that magic more and more, where things are just falling into place. And I keep telling people, you know, connect with your higher self and your guides, and because you are far more beloved than you have any idea of. You don't even know. Every single one of you listening, you don't even know how beloved you are. As much as you may feel loved at this time, it's so far beyond that. And I was chatting with Brian Porter, whose last show is this week, a wonderful fellow host on this network, and he's created his own new video network that he's doing now. And he's actually the person, JP, that introduced me to James McCanney. What a joy. And he was talking about when you connect with these high beings, because I was chatting with him. I said, you know, Brian, I'm just going to send you an angel right now. He's in a really good place. It wasn't like he was in distress or anything, but it was more a matter of connecting, I guess. I can't remember exactly. If he wants to call in, maybe he will, and he'll probably remember better. But it's very easy to do. We're all capable of this magic and this connection with the higher reality, and there it is.
And certainly the with a lot of the clients that I've been having in the last few months, when they come, you know, once they've got them, they know their rays, and they've got their etheric bodies cleared, astral bodies cleared. The next thing that happens is they connect with the Lyran self, which is like your higher self. It's your original higher self. And once you can connect your higher self and your present self, and it's literally like being driven, like an avatar by your higher self. And that is something else.
I'll tell you, that's what's happening for me. It's serendipity. Things are happening so magically. You know, I'll be working and I'll take a 15 minute break, and I haven't had any Skype messages the whole time. And I sit down, and then, like 2 minutes, I've sat down for 2 minutes rolling a cigarette, and Andrew Barks says, oh man, I can't get the server. Can you produce for me today? You know, it's just that, it's that synchronistic. And, this is my day to day life, and it happens with the work I'm doing, where I just have a knowingness. You know, sometimes I'll, think about things and imagine things. Other times I will just know.
This is the way it's going to be more.
It is happening more and more for me. Like I said, like a snowball, like an acceleration.
You know, sometimes it sounds like I'm not prepared, but other times I've had like a minute and I'm able to prepare in that minute. It's quite incredible that, like you say, things drop into place without having to, sometimes, you know, and if you really move with it, it works. Your arms might be swinging around and you might knock something and you might grab it. And if you follow through it without the pause of like, oh my God, if you can allow your arm to follow through with its natural follow through, that cup will not spill.
And that's the same with the type of work I'm doing, because I'm doing a lot of very varied types of work. One of the things I'm doing right now is renovating one of our rental units. And there's a lot of very different things to do. And my hands just seem to know what to do. And I just seem to instantly know whether I need to replace something or I can fix it, you know, like a faucet today. Can I take it apart or repair it? No, I just need to replace it because the internal valve you just can't get to, you know, stuff like that. It's just an instant knowingness. Sometimes
a knowingness of how long it's worth giving something because your time is precious. And like you said, you can very quickly ascertain, this is beyond – if I try to repair this, it'll take me 2 hours. You know, I need to go to, I just might as well chuck it and then get a new one.
On the other hand, the bathroom tile, on the other hand, the bathroom tile is messed up. And so am I going to completely redo the tile job or can I just do this particular area? Well, it's going to be far more efficient and easy to just do this particular area.
That's right. So it's knowing where to fold them, knowing when to play them.
That's right.
Yeah. So, now as bringing it back to the question, actually, Lyra, do you want to join us, love? Because Lyra's got a lot of information. I'll just quote her here. This wave is allowing more of our higher selves to be in body. Which is kind of what the idea our higher selves are of a more energetic form. And since there is more energy that is coming from the universe to do this, this wave is a wave of energy. It's not just like, see, the thing is, we have such a linear view of everything. And like, we think that water is just this wet stuff. And we think that electricity is just this zappy stuff. And it just goes along wires and stuff, you know. But the thing is that electricity is a living being. The universe is a living being.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity is a living being. Water is a living being. Water is a living being that lives through us. The only reason we're alive is because we are in, co-creative cooperation with the water elemental that allows us to remain alive. Anyway, God, brain froze. Where was
all is consciousness, yes. Even rocks, even dirt. Exactly. All is consciousness in my viewpoint.
Yes. Yes. So, as these things are evolving, the energy pulse, that's what I was talking about. So people might think, oh, energy, well, that's just like a battery. You know, it's just like a recharging a battery. Well, you could say it's like that, but it's more like receiving a download. Recharging your battery, filling your bank account, getting a stack of firewood, all at the same time.
Moving into the space of the knowingness that we are connected to source, our higher self.
At all times. So, everything's available to you.
So Yeah, that's right. We can, we're moving into like the Krell in Forbidden Planet, being able to instantly manifest our harsh desires. That's my wish to all, is may your every harsh desire come true.
Yeah. And, but the thing is, you have to be careful what your heart's desires are.
That's why you've got to do the inner work.
That's right. That's what the inner work does. Because if you're not going to get your heart's desire, you get your solar plexus' worst fear.
Well, you can get your mind's desire and you're repressed, but those are not where you're really doing magic. To really operate in that position, Bruce McDonald asked me this. He says, I'm not sure I want that to happen because then, you know, who knows what will happen. And my response was that you will not be in that space of being able to manifest what you desire if you are not operating from the heart. You see what I mean? So you can't, if you think your desire is to blow up the world, but that's not really what source and what your higher self is.
Yeah, exactly. You'll find that your heart desires really, you know, really simple things, like if you like egg and chips, you know, this is a British thing, you know. If you like, you know, egg and fries, you know, a really basic, simple thing, but actually a lot of people it's just lovely. You know, it's a really warm, good meal, you know, but it seems to be like a really basic thing and no glamour to it. And that's the way about heart's desires. They're very basic. There's no glamour to them. It's like, I'd love this thing to happen. Wouldn't that be great?
Or perhaps it's a romantic evening with a beautiful queen from outer space.
Commander, yeah, get your Pleiadian princess commander.
Or Lyrian, perhaps.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing. sometimes these things actually do manifest, I have to say. He said with a little wry smile.
I'm not ruling it out, that's for damn sure. You know, you'll never get the, you'll never get something if you don't try. You know, if you try and fail, that's one thing. But if you never even try, then forget about it. So you might as well go for it.
You got to step up. All right. So here's the thing. When you get an energy upgrade, I mean, basically what we're doing, we're getting an energy upgrade. And what that means is say we're originally a 1.5 volt, you know, we now become a 3.7 volt or a 12 volt. Depending on how much work we've done preparing the cells for being filled with the energetic juices that produce the current. If that's what, you know, if you understand what I'm saying is, you know, the amount of work that we've been doing in the last few years, the last few months, last few lifetimes, preparing for this moment to be open enough to receive this new energy, and you receive it into your beingness, through your soul, through your emotional body. And if your emotional body is not clear, you're going to have issues. If you're easily triggered into, you know, unrepressible rage, then these times are not for you. And it actually is a surprise that you've actually survived till now, because it's been ramping up. It's been coming bit by bit, you know, moment by moment. But most people haven't been able to feel it, sense it. Or actually, most people don't feel it, but certain people have been feeling it for quite a while. Those people who have really done the work and are completely clear and sensitive have been feeling it for several years.
Well, that's where you and I come in, JP.
Yeah.
Because we're here to say, hey, you know what? It's going to be okay. Just relax. Breathe. Breathe. You got this coming up. Since our energies are already running, just the field we emit into the complete, and it's not limited by time or space, into the complete field, I think there's tremendous opportunity for those that are stuck. I mean, because it's mostly trauma that has created fear. And fear is the opposite of love. And so with people like you and me and the real masters that are here, you know, we're just, I mean, I'll just speak for myself. I figure on a scale that goes to infinity, at least I'm on there somewhere. You know, that's good enough for me. You know, I'm a little bit ahead of the curve for many and have an opportunity to help those because I've gone through a lot of internal, you know, confusion and, you know, the reason why I know as much as I had to is because I had to.
Well, yeah, because we're presented with these scenarios, which are, one, they're karmic lessons, but another time they're teaching us how to teach.
Yeah, when you come up against a wall, sometimes you realize, well, guess what? This path I was on really isn't working. So you're either going to be stuck there or else you're going to change direction.
Or the path is to learn how to jump over the walls.
Or move through them.
Yeah,
right?
or walk through them, as you say.
And by the way, what you said about the 3.5 voltage, right, or the 1.0, so what it occurred to me is this new dimension. So in reality, what's happening, so it's 3.5, so it's there. But now there's a whole nother dimension going outside of time and space. So now that becomes a jillion volts, not even a million or a billion, but just like infinite. It's still the same because you're still who you are, but all of a sudden there's this whole nother level. And this barrier has broken down between your higher self. I really, again, go back to connecting with the part of us that exists outside of time and space. I call it no space. It's the blink between when the flicker rate of reality.
Dancing between the raindrops, as Hans Kammler, I think it's Hans Kammler.
Yeah.
Simon Ratterman says, that's right. Dancing.
So it's not a doubling or a multiplication or even an exponential curve. It's a whole nother curve.
So, stepping into the place of no space, a place of no time. And it's also something that Andrew's been talking about. Andrew Barthes has been talking about being in no time, because that's the space of love. Is no time. It's no. There's no pressure. It's, you know, things take as long as they need to take, and that space moment is given to us. We don't have to worry that there's not going to be enough time. And if we think, oh, so-and-so's coming at 4, just relax. And, you know, it may take you an extra 15 minutes, but you'll find that as soon as you decide that you're going to keep going, you'll get a text from the person who was coming. Sorry, I'm going to be 15 minutes late. Is that all right?
And that's the magic that we're experiencing, because we are getting more and more in tune with each other as these barriers break down and we operate more and more from the higher self. It just flows. We get back into the natural flow.
And as I'm being reminded with Vanessa, we're getting to the point when the detection of what is good for us and what is not good for us, otherwise known as discernment, and the ability to choose whether you want to continue that. Once you've recognized what it is, that's called discrimination. So by developing discernment and discrimination, we're able to see what is true and move into our truth and away from those negative situations. And the more we exercise our choice, the more we put that into the morphological field of humanity and allows other people to exercise their choice and so on. And that spreads out as well. And that's you know, if you have voltage, that's what you can do.
Or chi.
Same thing.
You create your own. Yeah. Your energy field does the work, as opposed to, you know, sometimes, what you say is merely, something to, keep the mind occupied while the real work is done.
Well, there's merit to, keeping the mind occupied, because it is often just a useless accountant that's taken the front desk. all it does. Anyway, so yes, incoming deep space pulsar. Yeah. And it's great to be, because, once you're at that level of being able to allow mistakes in your life, or what appear to be mistakes, or what used to be apparently a mistake, to become part of the fabric, to become the interesting little tangent instead of a mistake. And if we can then, you know, we need to eliminate these negative connotations from words. In the same way, we need to remove the connotations from money. Let's take it back to money, because, you know, this is a problem in many, many people's lives. You know, why can't I get money? Is because we're taught to have the wrong attitude towards it. We're taught that it's rare, and that it's, you have to fight over it. And
there's not enough of it.
And there's not enough of it. It's a poverty consciousness. And, you know, I remember years ago when I first heard about, oh, that's poverty consciousness. What are you talking about? Poverty consciousness. I'm not poor. Oh, actually, yes, I am. Why am I not rich? Well, cause, and then I realized over the years, you know, it was the self-defeating thoughts, the self-doubts that are not true, and that hold us up. You know, all the, oh, but it's against the law. Oh, because, oh, but this, oh, but that, oh, but that, oh, you haven't done this, oh, we haven't got this, you know, all these, you know, you haven't got permission from the great poobah with the folded horns, you know, all that. And eventually you get to the point when you realize that money, well, that's just because people make it up. And the reason that they say they think that they're able to make it up is because they got bullies and thugs. So screw that. I'm going to put the big middle finger up to that. You know, that whole sense of authority, because I have as much authority as anyone.
It's about owning our own power.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Connecting with our own source. Then we have, all else falls from that. Connect with your own spiritual power, then you have currency, voltage, chi, frequency, waveform, manifestation, and the ability to give. We all came here with a gift. What we share with each other is, in a real sense, what makes us real.
Yeah, so... So, Kara is saying, when is this going to end? This is the beginning. And it's not going to end until we're different. You know, and it's not going to end until we've turned ourselves inside out. And the less resistance you give to it, the quicker it happens.
I get in a lot of trouble because I tell people there is no enemy. That's one of the most things I get in trouble about when I talk on air. But certainly there are those that would want to harvest your energy and use violence against you and all that. And defending yourself, I'm all for that. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about a Zen-like approach where you don't give energy to those entities that want to do you, want to take from you without giving back.
Well, it's they're essentially that, you know, they're like biting insects. The reason that they bite you is because you're sweet to them. Not because you're Keith Roberts. Not because you're Keith Roberts, the contactee. Yeah, not because you're Keith Roberts, the radio host. Not because you're Keith Roberts, the father, mother, brother, sister. But because you smell sweet.
It's because I'm nice.
Yeah. No, but you smell sweet, and that's it. That's all they're responding to.
Yeah.
Just the smell of sweetness. Oh, that smells nice. You know, when you walk past the cake shop, you smell the cakes, and you think, oh, that's nice. Let's go and have some of that. That is exactly what is going on when a mosquito is biting you. That's exactly what is going on when a predatory energy vampire is locking onto you. It's not personal. It's not because you're, you know, well, I mean, you see, generally they come to the person who has the highest form of light. And so here's the thing, you know, people talk about it all the time. Oh, I'm under attack. Oh, they're sending me this and this. Listen, here we are. This is a school. You're a ninja. Deal with it. This is training. I realized this last year, you know.
Yeah,
I was whining and whining and whining. So I suddenly had this conversation with JP. Listen, you know, this is training. Understand that. And then when you see it says training, it takes a whole different attitude, and it then becomes fun again. And so instead of feeling attacked by people, you say, okay, bring it on. Let's see how I'm doing. Let's see how sharp I'm getting. And so you learn that even your enemy is your friend because his or she is making you sharper.
Well, the energy vampires can only take energy from you through a vulnerability. So that's where the discipline and the growth comes in. But it's very helpful to have be in a group of people that know how to do that type of work. Because think about it. What's the hardest place for you to scratch? Well, it's right behind your heart, isn't it? On your back. You know, that's, an area where I've had some, challenges, protecting myself. But, also, interestingly enough, my, first chakra and my fifth chakra, I get corded in the back. And it's, for my case, it's due to sympathetic relationships, my father in particular. If you think about it, you know, he was trained that the way to operate is to take energy. That's just how you operate. And this goes back, I mean, this is like the oldest game there is, period. You know, they say prostitution is the oldest game. No, I suggest this is the oldest game, period, is to literally take people's chi, their vital energies. And it's a challenge. It's been a challenge for me. But on the other hand, I would have never learned. I would never have exercised the discipline and the training where that I'm now at a case in a space where I can look at others and pull them off from them and tell them, you know, what's happening and who it is. And one of the affirmations that has helped me immensely as far as protecting my own energy is to say out loud, I belong only to myself and my creator. And my whole energy field changes when I make that affirmation, and it's very helpful. But being as that I'm not a fully illuminated being, you know, I am at my higher self, you know, but on this journey that we're on, and talking about the end of the journey, I mean, why would you want it to end? The mystery is excitement. We're immortal souls. We chose to be here to have some drama, you know, and have you know, think about it. When you watch a movie, are you going to watch something real peaceful, or are you going to want to watch something that has some conflict in it?
Well, sometimes it depends, you know. See? If some people just want conflict for the sake of conflict, they like to watch people
getting
hurt.
Well, that's different.
You know, like a boxing match.
Some people are drama queens.
Yeah, even guys. And but you know, there are other films that you watch to see somebody struggle. You know, and those are the films that tend to be most rewarding when you see somebody struggle and, you know, find themselves in the worst situation and not give up and get themselves out of it. To find their way.
Yeah, those are mirrors of the journey we're in.
Yeah.
Because
so,
when you...
Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
So when you actually choose to move forward in that journey, take responsibility for being where you're at and realizing that you chose to face these challenges, right? That's, in my opinion, the first step towards moving forward. Saying, okay, I'm here. It's my job to deal with this, right? And then realize it's an opportunity and a mystery. But think about these journeys. They're all about self-realization. And, You know, JP, what's really interesting, I've noticed a lot of them have really Jesus kind of archetype symbols, you know, the hero. And so many of them, if you look back, so many of them have initials of JC, or, you know, like John Carter of Mars, John Carpenter of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I was going to say Joseph Campbell.
Yeah, yeah.
Who wrote the book on the hero's journey.
Exactly.
So that takes it all completely full circle. JC, from JC to JC, it's the hero's journey.
So that's our self-realization. I posted on Facebook, I said, we separated from source that we may know the bliss of reunion. Because when you go through that and you reach this higher plane where you become more activated, that's on this dualistic reality, this reality of polarity, this dimension of polarity, we wouldn't know joy if we didn't know sadness. We would have no comparison. Understanding that, I think it is a big key towards accepting and starting to process these traumas and then to heal them and actually move forward and realize that you've not only healed, but you've actually grown.
Right, so let's bring this in. Stardust Man has been trying to call in. He's got a question. And Tol Iris has asked the question. What do you think of the thought of the incoming wave as being the key, so to speak, as a key to unlock over so-called junk, our sun, what has been called junk DNA, which I don't believe is junk at all. I think you're pretty much spot on, but here's the thing. You know, yes is the answer to the question, but the question is, how clear are you? How much work have you done? Because if you've done no work at all, you won't get this and you'll think everybody else is at fault and then it'll be complete projection. And this is what, you know, this is the other thing is, it's a propaganda technique that has been amply, used in the last few weeks. Where you accuse, you know what you're doing, and before the other person has a chance to accuse you, you accuse the other person of doing what you're doing. So, like, if Hillary Clinton says to Trump, you're rigging the election. You know, we know full well that Hillary's rigging the election, but if you put it out there, then the only response is, no, you are, and that just sounds childish. You see? So that's another mind control technique. Which is like, it comes basically from, the world of projection. Where your unhealed, inner child stuff comes up when it's stimulated instead of an appropriate response. So, what do you think about this? DNA being activated, you see? This is what I'm talking about. When your DNA is activated, it will activate traumas. Because I believe that each DNA strand and each race that we have has its own trauma that we need to work through. Now, maybe we've worked through most of them, but there may be one or two that are a little stubborn. And as Simon Parks has said, the hardest one for the Pleiadian is to accept their reptilian side, and the hardest one for the reptilians is to accept their Pleiadian side. So if you've got some reptilian in you, pull it out and chill out. For God's sake, chill the heck out. Keith.
Yeah, sorry, I stepped away for a moment. I have a more zen-like approach. So I don't concern myself whether it's DNA, whether it's, 12 strands. I do know DNAs. You can look at them like antenna in a way, a holographic universe kind of a model. The fact is we are accelerating and this new color, this new dimension is real and, we are experiencing it more and more. So the question of whether or not, you know, is this activating the DNA or not? I don't really have a comment on that because I'm really not that concerned, with that part of the process. I'm more concerned with how I operate and how I, get out of my own way and allow these new energies, to illuminate me.
And it's coming, like I said, it's coming down electrically from the conductor. The sun is getting it from from the local supercluster, and then that gets it in turn from the galaxy. And the galaxy is getting it from the next level up. You know, it just keeps going. And it then steps down from the sun to the Earth, and from the Earth, you see the Earth has a little star inside it. And one day that little star will, create a much larger gas giant planet like Jupiter, and then eventually the Earth will become a sun, and it will take its turn in the generation of the solar system, in the same way that, Saturn is the old sun, and, has been, relegated to the outer solar system, because it's, done its thing. It's taken its turn. All the planets take their turn to be the main star. It's probably going to be Jupiter next. This is what, isn't that what, 2010 is all about? That Jupiter goes into a supernova. I thought it was going to happen a few years ago. I wonder if that's going to happen. What do you think? Anybody? Is Jupiter going to go supernova when we have two stars in our cluster? Oh, the other I had a thought today, Keith. You might like this one. As I was just kind of trying to relax and, get some rest, the word Nibiru came into my mind, and I thought, Nibiru, do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like neighbor. Maybe it's just the word for the neighbor of our star. It just means neighbor. Thoughts? No, you stepped away again. Is anyone?
No,
there?
I'm here. I was getting texted. I'm gonna. Barbara DeLong is coming up next, and I was gonna help her with her new producer.
Are you needing to step away from this then?
I can, but no, I'm okay. My thoughts are, I want to go back to what you said about the star inside the Earth. I think all of us are really stars. We're on a journey of us.
Oh, absolutely. There's a star inside us as well. Yes, you're absolutely correct.
Yeah. So we're on a journey of self-realization and illumination. And I think we're really getting it big time. There's been predictions for a long time that there would be two stars in this solar system. It's not something I've looked at or even am concerned with, because I'm more concerned with how it manifests, how this wave of energy, how we illuminate each other and how we grow. Not so much with the particular details of whether Jupiter does this or Saturn does that. Yes, I, as above, so below. That's how I see it.
Yeah, well, one of the meditations that Adrius has given us is a simple meditate on a star growing in your heart.
Now, oh, there you go.
If you want to evolve, well, we're all going to evolve into stars, so maybe that's the place to start. To start.
I love that. I've had so much armor around my own heart. I've had so much disappointment and love. When I look back on it, I realize it was really more about that I had so much to learn about being in relationship and, going from being in a very much of projecting my own illusions onto the person that I was in relationship with, as opposed to really knowing who she is. And I'm getting quiet inside myself. And again, it goes back to getting out of your own way, putting your mind aside, allowing it to chatter if it wants to, but hopefully you can quiet that chatter and really learn how to develop your ability to listen. And this goes not just to when you're talking with somebody. This goes to listening to your own guides, listening to your own heart, listening to your own higher self. It's right there for you right now. You don't have to go very far to be who you are.
No, you don't. And it's like one of these things, your soul is this thing that you can trade on the stock market, and it's so far away, and you need an intercedent. Jesus is this guy, might as well be on Jupiter, instead of ever present, because it's like it doesn't work the way you think it is.
And you can sell it to Satan.
Oh, yeah, that it's something that you can buy and sell. Well, my feeling about this is actually it's about time, because your time is the only thing your soul has, you see. So if you are forever distracted, then that thing that is distracting you is stealing your time. So in some ways you can sell your soul by being in an agreement that will detract your energy from your attention energy, which is really all you have is your attention time space, that you'll spend most of your time trying to fix yourself because you're so broken by, you know, emotional torture and trauma and all those things. And that's what it means by stealing your soul. So there you go. So now here's the thing. The whole thing about the doing the work is to become more harmless, right? And that's not repressing your anger. It's allowing your anger to be discharged in a safe way. You know, it's like you've got an enormous high voltage capacitor and somebody's, you know, you're just going to lean against it. Rather than somebody making it safe by draining the energy off slowly. So this is the main thing, is to make it not so much of a shock, and just simple meditations. The simplest meditation. Here's two things. One's from Audrey, which is you focus on growing a star just around where your heart is, right in your heart center. Just imagine that little star sparkling away. And the more you meditate, the more it'll grow, you know, and one day it may be bigger than you. One day it may be bigger than the planet. And the more you grow that, the more you're focusing on actually creating a plasma spark that is causing you to make very interesting choices, because as I said, electricity is not a dumb thing. It's intelligence. It's the crackling consciousness of the universe. It is Uranus. It's lightning. Keith.
Yes, and there, you know, some people say that electricity, there's really like, it's like a, you know, a television really has only one dot of light. And so they think that the entire universe is really frozen light. Matter is frozen light. And so it's really one dot that is everything. So what that means is we are all connected. So what I think is that the barriers are breaking down. And what we're finding is that we are connecting with a whole nother higher level. That's why I don't get into specifics, because that engages the left brain, the left mind, and
And you just press your mute button, or I'm off the air. No, I'm not off the air. Hold on, we're trying to get the call back. Seems that we've lost there. Keith, are you back? No, his pictures just lit up, but nothing's happening. And I'm pretty sure that I'm still on Studio B. Let me just go and check that and listen to my special monitor. All right, so he's talking about his about the one dot. Yes. Meanwhile, how does spirit cooking? I've been checking the phones. I don't see, there is a thing with Skype. It's not really my fault. It's Skype. I can blame Skype, because Skype is actually doing what I'm saying it's doing, and it's not me. But it seems to have, got its knickers in a twist, and it doesn't accept calls from Sirius. Some various people, because they're using a different device. And so I'm going to try and bring Keith back into the call there. No. No. Let's try again. Bibbly, bibbly, bibbly. Yeah. Yeah, a quick slurp of a cup of tea then. Where's the shingle? Oh, good. There we go.
Sorry about that, sir. Skype just dropped me. Skype has been really annoying lately.
Oh, terribly. Terribly. Hang on. What's this one? This one. Oh, that's quite a good one. Okay, somebody can come in. Hello, everybody. It's just me coming in and then leaving. Oh, no. It's only got a thing. Anyway, I must not play with those things while on the air. Hey, so. So yeah.
I would.
Go on.
Yeah. I would suggest, choose joy and some playfulness. With all these dark pictures people are showing us, we don't need to choose this. Where you actively focus your attention on is what you're going to manifest. So people are telling, I constantly getting people tell me some end of the world scenario or another, and I keep saying, no, Planet X is not going to destroy us. No, it's not going to be, the takeover of, Marshall's Law and all that stuff. I think we've graduated past that. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced we are moving into a state of abundance where we're truly sharing other. Yes, the war is not over. We're seeing the battle rage as the dark ball is pulling out all the stops because they are losing big time. Explosion over Florida was a starship leaving the planet. I looked at that psychically along with my mother, in fact, who's the most amazing clairvoyant I've ever met. And,
What else did you pick up?
Okay, so it was a lease trying to leave the planet. It was too late. They'd been given a deadline, which was long past, but they're so messed up. They're just the dark ball, right? So there was two explosions, and both of them were spaceships trying to leave the planet that then were blown up, and they were videoed and photographed over Florida. And I forget where the other one was. You may know, JP, if it was over Texas or I forget where the other one was.
There was one over Turkey and one over Japan.
Oh, Turkey, but there's one over Florida as well.
Yeah. There was the Florida one, the Turkey one, the Japan one, all at the same time. And you can imagine there's the three factions. There's the Asian faction, there's the Middle Eastern faction, and then there's the American faction, all trying to leave at the same time. We may hear that certain people are dead now. You may not.
Well, they made their own
doubles.
Bed.
Their doubles might still be active until they start breaking. We might see. Here's the thing. All right, this is an interesting thing. Oh God, we're at the end of the show. I was just going to say we might see clones breaking down on TV of famous people. That you realize that's their clone and they've gone. All right, thank you very much, everybody. This has been Journeys with JP. Thank you very much, Keith and Shari and Muggsy and everybody who's trying to call in and couldn't. All right, love you all. Bye now.